Hey, Adelaide.
Yes, Javier.
You know, we're doing Rampage tonight.
We are.
Now, you had suggested that we try a new format for doing this.
Yes.
Why don't we tell the people at home what that is?
Well, I mean, we are called We Like What We Like.
Well, we are called We Like What We Like because it is about what we like.
Right. But then we started to go into being like everybody else and just describing the matches. So now I think maybe we pick out some items we like from each match and discuss those instead of going over or trying to go over all the moves, because that's a lot sometimes.
So that would also allow for us to maybe do a sum up at the end and maybe talk about different characters on the show.
Sure.
All right. That goes for your whole thing for Jade Cargill.
Oh, yeah. That should only take me a couple minutes.
Yeah, I think we have time for that then.
Okay.
All right, then. So, what did you like this week?
Oh, let's see. There's not a lot to like about this week, given the news we got yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that was disappointing.
So let me try and find something. What I like about, I'm going to reuse, because here in Florida, you have to appreciate when it gets colder. So I'm going to reuse one I already did, because I'm thoroughly enjoying this cooler weather.
It's cool for like 2 days and then it gets warm again. So it's great weather. We agree.
Yeah.
Florida, 9 months of really good weather. 10 months of really good weather. Mixed in with about 9 weeks of crap.
I don't know which one you're doing because I'm 10 months of too hot weather and 2 months of semi-good weather. So I think we're looking at this the opposite direction.
We're saying the exact same thing.
Sure. It's too hot. It's too hot
it's
here.
It's never too hot. All right. So, it's not like Africa. We're not doing Africa hot.
I didn't say Africa hot. I said it's hot and humid. Ugh, you humidity. I have wavy hair, man. I look like a frizzball.
Oh, all right. Now, let's do the thing. I know that I like having all this time, that we're doing Rampage, that you and I get to keep working together on these things. This makes me happy. However, we're going to talk about the thing that made us unhappy this week.
Yeah, I feel really bad.
Yeah. WWE released 18 wrestlers yesterday, the same day as their quarterly earnings call. A quarterly earnings call where they stated they have profited in the last 3 months over $256
million. Whoa.
$256 million. What could we do with $256 million, Adelaide?
I have no idea. I'm happy when I have $200 in the bank.
If I had $256 million, Adelaide, I could probably keep 18 wrestlers employed. I'm just saying.
Yeah, for just sure. Saying.
These people were Scarlett Bordeaux, Frankie Monet, formerly Taya Valkyrie, Ember Moon, Trey Baxter, Karrion Kross, formerly Killer Kross, Oni Larkin, B-Fab of the group Hit Row that just got called up to SmackDown, Jesse Kamea, Zeta Ramir, Grand Metalik, Lince Dorado, so now all of Lucha House Party is gone, Jeet Rama, Katrina Cortez, Nia Jax, Keith Lee, Harry Smith, which is Davey Boy Smith Jr., it's the British Bulldog's son, Mia Yim, Eva Marie. Now, what stands out to you, Adelaide, from that?
You know, it's sad that any of these people had to go, for sure. It's sad that most of them never really got the push once they got into, once they got called up. What's also sad for me is the timing of everything, because now with ROH releasing their wrestlers, it's like a bevy. I mean, you could start your own wrestling promotion with ROH's released wrestlers and these 18 wrestlers, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not going to go into how much I think that the McMahons are despicable people and that Nick Khan, not Tony Khan from AEW, but Nick Khan, WWE, these guys, they're despicable people. I want to go into it more, but that's not what we do here. We like what we like. We do not like what they've done.
No, not at all.
Now, a lot of these guys are going to land on their feet. A lot of these guys are going to be superstars that are going to get a lot of love. The one good thing, and there is only one good thing that came out of the 2020 lockdown era, people appreciate finding things to watch. They've fallen in love with some wrestlers, and those wrestlers are going to get support wherever they go. That being the case, Keith Lee, Mia Yim, Nia Jax, maybe, Harry Smith, definitely, B-Fab, Karrion Kross, Frankie Monet, Scarlett Bordeaux, Ember Moon, these people are all going to be 100% fine. The other ones are very young, so they've got a very good chance of making a name for themselves out there in the indies if they want to hustle. Out of these 18 people, however, and out of every group of releases, I can almost guarantee that about 25% of them are done with wrestling. And that stinks. That's the what could have been moment, and that hurts me every time as a fan. What more could I have gotten? I love what I get. I like AEW. I like what I've gotten. But I don't mind getting spoiled. I don't mind getting more. Well, that's the bad news, and I didn't want to be a heavy, so I won't do any more bad news today.
I make no such promises.
So, now, how many things are we going to say we like per segment?
I said like three.
Three?
Yeah.
All right. So, my name is Javier Augusto, and with me, as always, is Adelaide Laurie.
Hello, everyone.
This is We Like What We Like. Now, we're doing Rampage tonight. It's going to be an exciting show. We're going to go see what that is, and then we'll come back and let you know. Well, good first match.
Sure.
We got Brian Danielson. We got Anthony Bowen, the five-tool player of the Acclaimed.
I thought it was Bowens.
It is Bowens. You are correct. Good. He is still the five-tool player. I did get that right.
If you say so. I was never going to correct you on that.
It was a. It was good. You had Max, Platinum Max Caster walk him out to the ring. Anthony Bowens out to the ring. Did a little rap.
Wiggity-wiggity-wap.
No, he's better than that. Now,
not much.
But let's go with the format and let's do it real, real quick. What did you think about the match? What did you like going into this?
You know what? The first thing I liked that I noticed was they were doing a Brian Danielson and Anthony Bowens were doing a transition from a hold to a hold to a hold. It was very smooth. It was very seamless. But the thing that really caught my attention was Aubrey Edwards, because she almost got cold cocked by a flying foot, and she moved out of the way, and her movement in the ring. I just had to give her a little props on this one.
Yeah, you know what? That is one of the things that I will comment on. She makes herself a part of the match without being the obtrusive part of the match.
Yeah.
There are other referees that have been in the way. People have to work around that referee. She doesn't make them work around her, which is one of my favorite things about her.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
I'll tell you, the first thing I liked was Brian Danielson giving Anthony Bowens a real good chance to shine in the beginning of the match. Mm. You know, letting Anthony Bowens look strong against him, do the big takeovers, arm drag takeovers, and just looking like the bigger, stronger guy. He is the bigger, stronger guy, let's be honest. But as the narrative is, Brian Danielson is this experienced veteran, a good, strong fighter, a guy that can go. Mm. And you've got Anthony Bowens, this rookie, this young buck, looking good against Danielson. Danielson allows that to happen. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, it was good. So my second thing was, I really do think they listen to us. I really hope they listen to us, because I keep saying there's kicks and then there's knee kicks. And they gave a display of what I am talking about, because...
Oh my goodness. Oh no. I didn't see where you were going with this until now.
Bowens kicked with his foot.
Oh my God.
Which were kicks.
Yes.
To the midsection, not high kicks.
Uh-huh.
But then Brian Danielson kicked with his knee.
That's not a kick.
So that's a knee kick.
It's my goat. My entire goat. I'm going to buy a goat so you can get it. This is the way you're doing it. There is no such thing as a knee kick.
They showed you what they said, Adelaide, we got you. Here's your example. You just explained, here it is. And they did it in the middle of the match. That's what we got.
The Adelaide Laurie knee kick
explanation got done by this match. I'm going to say I don't agree. Okay. And yeah.
Okay.
I actually did appreciate how creative everybody was in the match.
Yes.
That was my second like, really, is how creative. And I know that some of these are going to get repeated for different matches because, wow, you know, this is this company. But the creativity, you had Anthony Bowen in the middle of, towards the I guess, the beginning of the third act, end of the second act of this match. He gets a move where Danielson comes after him. He turns it on him and gets him in this reverse headlock while Danielson is in the corner. Then he does a twisting sort of DDT, twisting. It's like the Crossroads, but it's definitely not, because he's up on the turnbuckle and he calls it the Arrival. I think that's a very interesting way of doing it. He had another move where Danielson went to kick him while he was on the outside and Danielson was on the apron. He grabs Danielson in an electric chair, so on his shoulders, and then slams him onto the apron. Face first. This is a very good move. It's also creative. It allows the bigger man to be the bigger man. But it's not such a big drop that you go, oh, how did Danielson come back from that?
Yeah.
This is good creativity.
Yeah. That actually leads me into my next one, which was the whole match, ultimately, because it was very fast-paced. It was very seamless. It was some holds. Some high-flying action from Bryan Danielson. Some really different kind of moves, like you just described, from Anthony Bowens. It was top to bottom. It had everything. It had everything.
I'm going to agree with you that these guys played off each other very well. And I think that the veteran leadership of Bryan Danielson in this match, and I'm not trying to give him all the credit. I'm not. However, there's got to be some reality to the fact that a guy that has been doing it for over 15 years is in the ring with a guy who's only been doing it for less than 5.
Right.
And I believe that Bryan Danielson did sort of take the lead in this match, and to the point where you can see it in the narrative. You can see it in the way that the philosophy of this match went. And I don't want to get too technical. So Danielson has allowed himself to go back and forth with this young guy, this inexperienced guy who can show he's got power and real talent. Then Danielson puts the brakes on the back and forth and does a finishing sequence, giving Anthony Bowens nothing. And as a fan and as a person that's observing this match play out, you see Bryan Danielson is going to win.
Right.
And it's a really, really good. That's my third like, really, is how they set it up. You had a first act, a second act, and an obvious third act, which belonged entirely to Danielson. But it was a good third act.
Right.
And I really enjoyed that a lot. The finish was clear. It was done with a lapel lock. You're really not going to question whether or not this is a match that hit the beats. You are correct. It had everything.
Yeah. Including facial expressions from Anthony to be like, oh, look at me. I'm getting one over. Like, he would stop and like play to the crowd. It was tiny little moments during the match, but it still made you go, oh yeah, he's the heel. Which sometimes that's all you need. You don't need the overt, I'm the heel. It was very well done. And then Bryan Danielson was like mellow all the way through. Like, okay, I'm in a wrestling match. I'm going to get through this until the end, like you said. And to the end, he was like, all right, no, you're bugging me now, kid. And I'm going to finish you.
I think you are absolutely correct about the way that that was played. It was very clean. I liked everybody in the match. I liked the way that this played out.
Yes.
I have no negatives about this match, except for knee kicks don't exist. Beyond that.
You saw them. They exist.
I saw no such thing. However, we're going to get another section. So when we get into the next segment, we're going to see what happens. And then we're going to check back in with you guys and let you know what happened.
That was close. That was close. Good attempt.
Now, because your format, I like it so much for the first match that we did.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed that. Because I enjoyed that so much, I'd like to sort of change it up with Rampage and maybe just do the sections as first match, main event, and then all the stuff in the middle in one section. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
So since we're doing that, let's go to the stuff in the middle. And that's a lot, but we got a promo here. It starts out FTR with Andrade after the Cody match on Dynamite. This
right.
is a sort of a recap interview, even though it wasn't something we saw on TV. Now, since we're doing what we like on each segment, I'm going to tell you right now, I only have the one thing that I really liked about this promo.
That's fine. It was pretty short.
It was a short promo, but I tell you what I liked. Oh, actually, tell me what you liked. I apologize.
Oh, go no. It was okay if you wanted to go first. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Thank you so much. It's MJF telling Andrade, it's fine. We have an agreement. You can use my boys, FTR, the greatest luchadors in the world, for 2 weeks. And then he turns to FTR and asks them to translate as if they're Mexican lucha guys. I love it.
Yeah.
And then they whisper in his ear. He says, oh yeah, dinero. And then they pay MJF. And MJF looks back at FTR and says, what's Spanish for not enough? And Cash Wheeler says, uno más.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It tickled me. It absolutely got me that the South Carolina boys were translating for MJF. It was amazing. I loved every minute of it. It turned out great. They cut the promo. Tell me what you liked about it.
Well, I mean, this promo was essentially just to say that they're going to challenge for the AEW Tag Team Championship belts.
For the championships at Full Gear.
At Full Gear, correct. Yeah. I didn't really, it was whatever. What I wanted to say for this thing is, why was it okay this time for FTR to interfere with his match with the belts so that he could win, but it was not okay for my boy Chavo?
All right, I'm going to say this, because Chavo is doing something else. I don't know what it is, but he needed to be written off TV.
Okay, but you have to understand, they made a big deal about it. Don't interfere with my match. I can win on my own. The whole thing. Find another way to explain this.
Yeah, because heels cheat and have people interrupt their matches all the time.
Right. So if you're going to make a big deal about the fact that you don't want that, and that Chavo couldn't be with you anymore because he interfered with your match one time. Now it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to pay people to interfere with my match? Nah.
I agree with you. That I can see where that would be irksome for that particular narrative.
Yeah.
Not to mention that you're a huge Chavo Guerrero mark, so.
I am, and I'm also, I like consistency. I don't, you know.
I do.
You know.
Is there anything else about this one? We can move on to the next one?
We can go to the next one.
Okay, so the next one we had was CM Punk with Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
It was the face-to-face. It was a lot.
It's funny you say face-to-face, because was it a face-to-face?
No,
I know it was a tete-a-tete, meaning they were both in the ring.
Ooh,
but
clever girl.
But was it a face-to-face?
Well, if you're going to go with the Statlander Soho argument that we made on Dynamite, no, it was a heel-to-tween or tween-to-tween.
And who was which? I don't know.
They're both tweeners.
Didn't know.
I had no idea. The audience was confused.
The audience didn't know. Halfway through, it's like, Eddie. I'm like, wait, I don't think you guys understand. I think he's trying to, or is he trying?
He cuts them off when they're about to start CM Punk chants. Eddie Kingston cuts them off when they're about to start a CM Punk chant. Then he gets an Eddie chant. It was a wild bit. People aren't used to it, and which is why you know you witnessed something. I'm sure that this is correct for the people in St. Louis that are witnessing this live. They're getting really a once-in-a-lifetime type work shoot between two masters of a work shoot. It's definitely a work. They're not actually mad at each other, but boy, it's hard to tell. Boy, it's hard to tell.
Especially with Eddie Kingston. He's just so passionate. I dig him the most.
He is very intense. He said some things that I know some inside baseball when it comes to wrestling. So I do know the stuff that's going on behind the scenes and stuff that happened in the past. And he really, really went hard on some stuff that sort of the way that Eddie Kingston has been talked about in different agencies that he's been at. All the talent in the world, but maybe doesn't hit the beats, doesn't work the way he should in order to get these things done. Eddie Kingston will argue that it's because he's not an ass kisser, but other people will argue it's that he doesn't want to do the little bit of the work that you have to be that extra guy, doing the promos, talking to management, making sure that your stuff gets in. So it's something that's followed Eddie Kingston around, so that he's got an attitude backstage. However, the people that work with Eddie Kingston all think he's tops. Cat's pajamas, just one of the best guys in the world to work with.
So what did you like about this promo?
Well, it's that it was a work shoot.
Yeah.
That it was a I mean, I've seen work shoots from the really terrible to the amazing. This is in the amazing category. This, if there's a center line of demarcation, if it's a timeline and zero is the middle, these guys are way into the positive on this one. This is how it should be done.
Yeah.
And that they have a little bit of history that they can play off is amazing. I loved every minute of it.
Mine, I think, is hard to describe because there are moments of brilliance in there. There's some really good shots in there from mostly Eddie Kingston because he spoke the most because he just kept going. This is a shot before he said a shot was amazing. Like, I love that. He started a sentence, he went, "This is a shot." And then he said, "The only professional wrestling company out there."
Meaning, he said the only professional wrestling company in the world today.
Meaning AEW is the only professional wrestling company in the world today. And that
left.
Yeah.
And he wasn't talking about ROH anymore because they're gone.
Right. And I don't think he was talking about any other. I think it was a shot at WWE.
I'm positive that that's true.
Which was clear.
I'm positive that's true.
I guess my main thing was how uncomfortable I was. I was so uncomfortable because they both believed it.
Yes.
And I hate being uncomfortable, but that's how powerful this was. Like, I was uncomfortable.
Again, I think that the audience and Adelaide, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of people are like you. They get into the narrative, they get into the stories, they fall in love with characters and the performers, which is what they are. They fall in love with these wrestlers and they fall in love with their gimmicks and they fall in love with their characters and they say, this is great. And then when the reality falls in, that's why the pipe bomb still makes so many people feel like, oh my God, that was the greatest moment in wrestling. It's these two guys allowing the curtain to be pulled back and you can see some of it, even though a lot of those fans, AEW fans, 99% of them are hardcore fans.
Mm-hmm.
These are fans that go in there and read the dirt sheets and know what's going on behind the scenes. I'm one of these people. And to say that these guys pull it back and let you sort of peek into their lives just for a second. Eddie Kingston makes that happen when he says things like, oh, I was at home because I thought I had COVID, yada, yada. I didn't want to get anybody sick. I didn't want to get my boy Mox sick and have him get his daughter sick and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things like that are, okay, this is reality and this is why I wasn't here. Everybody chill. And everybody can relate to that. However, when he comes hard and says, you were judging me and you mistreated me. And then CM Punk comes back and goes, you're right, I was judging you. But everybody judged you because they thought you were better. And then you weren't.
Yeah.
Those moments are going to make you uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
And it's uncomfortable to look. It's the uncanny valley. You're getting to see something that for you and me would be real life and we can talk about real life. But now we're watching it play out like an actual drama on TV. That's freaky. And that's the idea. And again, I'm going to say, I don't think the people in the audience, they know they witnessed something special just now.
Yeah.
They just don't know what it was.
I don't know about that, but, you know, ultimately this whole thing was a setup for them having a match at Full Gear.
A no-build match at Full Gear, because they had to build it on 2 weeks.
Right.
On a week. Last Rampage.
Yeah.
And then this Rampage. Yeah. They had to build it over 1 week with CM Punk sort of building it because Eddie Kingston couldn't show because he probably did have what's on
but
sick.
But that is how... And I'm going to give it to Eddie. Like, if we had to judge the two, and I know people out there are like, CM Punk is the man. I get it. But this was carried by Eddie Kingston. Only at the end, and only a couple of shots did CM Punk get in the verbal disagreement. But at the end, where Kingston just loses his mind, and CM Punk just loses, and they're brawling, and people are coming out from the back to separate them, and more people wrestlers have to come back out to separate them, and the look in CM Punk's eyes where you're just like, oh yeah, okay, he's pissed. You know he's not, but it was just quite the little capper on that. It was good. It was really, really well done.
I'm only going to disagree a little bit. I think Eddie Kingston drove it. He carried it. He carried it. I think he drove it.
I think CM Punk
rode along. I think he was in the passenger seat. Eddie Kingston drove this bus all the way home. He really did.
This wasn't a bus. This was a truck. And CM Punk was in the bed.
Maybe. We'll talk more about this as the years go on with these kinds of things. Yeah. And we can say about, well, I mean, if you still know me and if you're not out touring and with your book signings and stuff.
I don't know what I wish for more now.
Ooh.
Okay.
So then of the last two, the penultimate thing is that we have Jurassic Express with Christian Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're calling out the Super Click.
Yeah, the not so tough Super Click.
The not so tough guys. Yeah. The Super Click.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's like what we talked about in the last episode where you have Nick Jackson saying, yeah, we're the tough guys.
Yeah.
And then Christian Cage saying, you guys are not tough.
Yeah. I heard you, but I'm not sure you understand what that means.
Yeah. So what I liked is, you know, just playing on something that was already there. So they're staying with the narrative.
Right.
They're arguing inside of a narrative. They're not adding extra layers. They're not building things that don't need to be built. They're playing to the narrative that they're getting, which I like. I do like that.
So now they have a match at Full Gear where falls count anywhere due to their brawl that they had last on Dynamite.
Right. Which I think, all right, I'm going to say this. This is a little meta, but it's kind of a me thing. I think that they're adding things to the card that weren't going to be on the card. And I think that they're just sort of building this card out from what it was.
I don't know.
I think they're adding.
I think he had a better idea of what was going on to just keep adding these. Anyways, what I liked about this segment was Jungle Boy. And not so much, you know, just Jungle Boy. But he was so green when he started. So young, so green. And even though his dad was an actor, his promos were just
awful.
Yeah.
They were awful.
But his line at the end, we'll see you there, tough guys, was perfect.
His delivery was good.
It wasn't over the top. Nope. It was perfect.
I will not be surprised if all, because again, meta, but a lot of those promos, backstage promos and stuff like that are recorded and people will do multiple takes.
Sure.
I will not be surprised if his takes are one take.
I think that was just perfect. It was. I think someone is teaching him that that line didn't need to be oversaid. It didn't need the extra. It just say it. And beautiful.
I agree with you. It was solid. I'll tell you what I liked is that they're just staying within the storyline. They're staying within the narrative, which I think I already said, but I didn't say I liked it. That's what I liked.
Okay. And then to cap this off, we had the Bunny versus Red Velvet.
Absolutely. Which, you know what? I want to hate on a Red Velvet match because she's just so nonsensical to me at this point. And I said it before. I said in the last episode, Red Velvet, it's a great name for someone who's going to, and again, I'm not in the business, okay? It's not me saying that I know better. But when I look at someone with a name like Red Velvet, Brooklyn Brawler, something like that, in my head, because of the way that I've been trained on wrestling, these are the people that are looking up at the lights at the end of the match. They're not the ones who win matches.
Right.
So I don't like the name. And the apron thing that she wears every once in a while, that's just meh. But this match, this is a different story.
Oh, man, she came out swinging.
Yeah.
She ran out to the ring.
Yeah, she was about this match.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, ring the bell as soon as I get in the ring because I'm coming.
Yeah.
It was good. Red Velvet did, I mean, Justin Roberts is jumping out of the ring basically because he's like, yeah, from Miami, Florida, Red Velvet, okay.
Yeah.
They're on.
Yeah.
It's just good things. I liked how aggressive a heel the Bunny was. This is my first like. I liked how aggressive a heel the Bunny was at the beginning of the match. All her moves were very punishing moves as she hits her against the stairs, hits her into the turnbuckle. These are good, aggressive moves. What about you? What was your first like?
I actually liked the way that Red Velvet came out to the ring. Like, this is all me. I'm going to run down here. I'm going to take care of business.
Yeah, it was really, really intense.
Yeah.
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 I mean, That leads into my point, my next point, which is my second like, which is how fiery Red Velvet was.
So funny. I have fiery written on my paper.
Get out.
I do.
Are you looking at my notes? You're cheating off my paper?
No.
All right, because This, it's, she looked so great. She was so fiery. Her face was so intense. She's emoting well. She was telling me, I'm here. The philosophy was, I am smaller, but I am way angrier. This is the classic. It's not about the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. I am so aggressive. I can beat the bunny, and I will use that to beat Jade Cargill in my in her first quarterfinal round.
It's interesting because I'm used to the bunny's facial expressions and how she's really into the match, and I'm you, but to have it played against her with Red Velvet doing her own facial expression and screaming in the middle of the match, which by the way is my second like, was how intense they both were. Even though I expect it from the bunny, it was nice to see it played back to her with someone she's in the ring with. That intensity and that those facial expressions and all of that.
You know what? I had a different third like. I'm going to say it as part of my third of what I've just thought of, because I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's every single match, and I've said this 3 weeks now, every single match in the TBS tournament has been good.
Yeah.
And the one that I thought was going to be the stinker, the one that I thought this is going to be the throwaway, was Red Velvet versus the Bunny. It was a good setup to the Jade Cargill match. If the Bunny had won, I still would have believed it.
Yes.
It would. It did not stink. I like this match. I actually, despite myself, like the match from beginning to end.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you my third like, and it's a silly little detail, but Red Velvet is short.
She's not tall. She's like 5'1".
She is wee. And the Bunny is fairly tall.
She's like 5'9".
Yeah.
She's very tall.
At one point, Red Velvet was trying to hit the Bunny, and the Bunny was like holding her away and like moving, because the height difference was so vast that they knew she couldn't connect, and they used that in the match, which I thought was brilliant.
That is good narrative storytelling.
Like, she was swinging for the fences, and the Bunny was just like, no, honey, I'm tall and you're short. And it was so well done. Yeah, I just love that part.
It's not a short girl and an average girl. We're talking about a tall woman and a short woman.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about, is that this is now a narrative you can play with. It was a good narrative. I liked it.
I liked that they added it. It was a funny little bit. And it was
in a good aggressive match. If you can add a little bit of comedy, it throws another layer. I'm telling you, from beginning to end, this match was good. It ranks into this tournament properly. I don't look at this match and go, this did not belong with all these other good matches. My goodness, this match was great. All the other matches were good too.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the quarterfinal round.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
All right. So we'll watch what happens next and we'll get back to you.
Yeah, it's so much better when you say it.
Main event, baby.
You said it almost as well as Mark Henry.
Oh, please.
Yeah, and what was this main event, Adelaide?
It was Johnny Silver, or John Silver.
John Silver, Johnny Henry.
Versus Adam Cole, baby.
This is a very good match. It's like I say this every damn time. Like, oh, every match is very good. Oh, AEW is so great. I'm a mark, obviously. But let's just call a spade here. John Silver has, for the last 18, 19 months, been getting over.
Okay? Yes.
He's just been getting over. Little by little, little by little, they're just getting him over, getting him over, getting him over. It's to the point where John Silver comes out in a match against Adam Cole.
Baby.
And he still gets the yay chance in the yay boo spot. Well, they're going back and forth, and he gets the yays. He gets Johnny Hungy chance. I'm just going to go right into the first thing I like about this match.
Okay.
One word. Budge. Is there another word?
No.
Budge is the word.
All caps.
All caps. Budge. And it is the dumbest damn thing. And I know that John Silver ad-libs on BTE and on all of these different things. And he ad-libs like The Office. He just knows what he has to get to. And he does the most random nonsense. Budge had to have been something that came off the top of his head. And here we are, where you've got people in the stands with Budge signs. And somebody had made a sign that said, it's all about the Budge. I mean, come the flip on. They chanted Budge at Adam Cole.
Yeah. My first like would be that they explained John Silver's promo from Dynamite in the Mark Henry, even though I don't like that segment, not a fan. I do like that they went back and said, oh, clearly we missed a step, so let's explain. And so they were talking about how Johnny Hungy said all of this stuff about cutting Adam Cole's hair and renaming him Budge and having Adam Cole be his manager in a BTE, which is Being the Elite, podcast YouTube thing that they have.
Right. It's more of a sketch show, but yeah, it really, you're right. They did learn from their mistakes, which is why you know that Tony Khan listens to our podcast. Because sure. You don't watch BTE.
No.
So you're not familiar with all of the backstage jokes that they have.
Correct.
You're not aware that Adam Cole came back from the dead.
I mean, I am because they did it on the show. But
exactly.
Yeah.
That's the point that I'm making, is that if they don't explain the BTE stuff, not everybody watches Dynamite and then watches YouTube to watch their YouTube show. And Adelaide's a perfect example of this because she doesn't watch that. And then they explained it on the pre-main event segment that they do with Mark Henry, and it worked out great.
Yeah.
Also, pre-match sold that Adam Cole wasn't 100% after taking the concerto on Dynamite.
Right.
So this is fantastic. It sets up all of the different angles that are going to be part of the match before the match.
Yeah, it was good. That was my first. What about your second?
I'll tell you, my second like was John Silver once again being the strong man in the match, being the powerhouse in the match, that everybody agrees narratively. He is physically stronger than everyone else, and people don't see it coming.
Right.
Because he's not tall. I think the man's like 5'5". He's not a tall man.
No.
But he's swole. And so he comes out there and beals Adam Cole. A beal is where you grab a man either by the head or by the arm and throw them clear across the ring.
Mm.
So he beals Adam Cole across the ring. They do collar and elbow, and he shoves Adam Cole. He is the strong man. Adam Cole is fighting uphill against John Silver's strength, which I love that narrative and the fact that every single person gets in the ring with him and makes that happen. I love every minute of that.
Yeah. So my my number two is kind of a twofer.
It's fine.
So I love Adam Cole's entrance. I'm a sucker for every time. Every As time. Am I. Every time.
Agreed.
Well done. So I enjoyed that. But the second thing was when John Silver came out and was in the ring and he did his entrance, which is, you know, posing and whatever, and does his thing.
Yeah, double biceps.
He like turns to Adam Cole and he's like, hold on, holds a finger up to him, says, hold on a second. And then turns to the crowd and does the boom, baby. But he goes, the Budge, baby. It was so funny.
That was a really solid one.
I love him so much.
Adam Cole, of course, kicks him right after that, which leads me in to my third like, which is from beginning to end of this match, they told a narrative to tell the audience, we're live, it's St. Louis, this is a live Rampage taping. Yes, we're going to tape some other things here too, but we're taping Rampage live. So we're going to give you something to think is great. And they did. And the thing they did is they got the audience completely engaged throughout the entire match. This For audience sure. just little by little gets more and more engaged. They're engaged with the Budge stuff. They're engaged with Adam Cole's all about the boom stuff. They love the boom stuff. But at the end of the match, you're having spots where John Silver always gets that big, like, flurry. I'm going to do 2-3 really good moves back to back to back. Mm-hmm. Because he's a shorter guy, these moves are never supposed to be finishers. Because cruiserweights do these moves and they don't finish with them. But John Silver makes it look like he's going to finish with all of these moves.
Yeah.
He does a spinning Liger bomb, which, in my opinion, should have ended the match. This match was awesome. The fans dropped an holy shit, and they also dropped a this is awesome right afterwards. And it was, and it's true. And yes, I like it because I like all of the people in the match, and I liked watching the wrestling. I'm going to tell you right now, the audience could have hated John Silver when they came into this match. And at the end of the match, they were all going, well, this is freaking great.
Yeah.
We're watching something fun here. So I agree. This was a fun match top to bottom. That's what my third like is that just the whole match gave a strong narrative that got the audience engaged and kept the audience engaged.
Yeah, for sure. Mine would be, it's hard to say the whole match. I do like there were segments in it, like you said, where John Silver looked really strong, like lifted Adam Cole over his head and then like threw him across the ring, and like Adam Cole landed on the rope.
Oh yeah.
So that everything that they did was to put over John Silver and Adam Cole, even though Adam Cole doesn't need it.
Right. But you know, you don't want Adam Cole to look weak.
Right. I guess, the whole thing top to bottom. I just like that there were just segments in it that were unexpected. I don't know if, does he do this all the time? The Three Stooges smacks that he did to the face of Adam Cole?
No, he does not do that all the time.
So like he did a couple of whoop smacks to the, and so that would, I mean, it was just moments of brilliance that was just tied all together with really good wrestling.
Because we've been trained to, okay, little guys can do some flippy stuff, but they don't necessarily get the good power moves and stuff like that. And then John Silver gets to break all of that for us.
Right. Oh, my favorite thing of the whole match. I've never seen this done, and I'm sure it has been done. I've never seen it done, because usually the heel gets to do the whole, what do you call it? The shot up to the woo-wah.
Oh! When they give him a, you know, when they hit him in the balls,
a low blow,
the low blow, or the galata, as it was called throughout the 90s, but you're not allowed to call it that anymore.
Right. So like, Adam Cole comes up behind, and you know it's coming because they always do it. Mm-hmm. So it's the low blow from Adam Cole to John Silver, but John Silver like catches his hand before he can get there and turns it on him, which I've never seen happen before.
Well,
the low blow is successful.
I've seen it countered exactly like that, in fact. But I will tell you, every time I've seen it countered like that, it's from a former heel. Which is why it makes sense that John Silver was like, I got this. We're the Dark Order. We were heels. Until people started loving us because of Bernie Lee. So guess what? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a babyface now, but it's not like I don't know.
Yeah. It was funny. It was
really good.
It was my favorite part.
All right. So we're going to go away for a second, and we're going to come back with words to say goodbye.
Oh, Lord.
Is that not how that goes?
That was terrible.
All right.
You want to try something else? That was terrible.
I don't know what I say.
All right. Well, we'll come back and give you our final thoughts on the whole show.
Yeah, see? That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Adelaide.
Javier.
That was the episode of Rampage.
It was.
On Guy Fawkes Day.
Oh, yes. To all my British friends, happy Guy Fawkes Day.
To my British friends, happy Guy Fawkes Day. What was your favorite thing about the show?
Oh, my favorite thing. But I'd say the John Silver, Adam Cole match, just because, I mean, it was all good. Do not get me wrong. Every part of it, that was a very difficult decision. I am just a sucker for John Silver. I don't know if it's because he looks like my nephew.
Does he?
He really does. If my nephew had a workout regime, bald head and all.
Is your nephew bald?
Well, he's not. He shaves his head most of the time. He has most men would be jealous of his hair. But he doesn't care. He just shaves it off. But I love that little guy. I just, ever since I've been watching this, I've always liked him. So he's one of my faves. Like, Adam Cole's entrance really gets me in the mood for the match. I cannot express how much that was a stroke of genius, whoever came up with that whole thing. Never let it die. I'm just saying. But I think the main event was my my favorite part of the whole show, but it's a close, close race for the rest of the show.
I'm going to say that I'm going to cheat and say that I had two things that I would count as favorite.
Because
if one of those things wasn't there, I would have loved the other thing. And if the other thing wasn't there, I would have loved that thing. It is that they have put together a really good women's tournament. I am so happy to hear that and to see that AEW cares enough about its women's division and gives them enough time. And they're obviously training and they're obviously working really, really hard to get it done. Or maybe they've always just been this good.
Oh, no, no, no. But I'll tell you what, Tony Khan, hit me up. I will be in charge of your women's division. And then you can see whether or not I'm worth it.
Well, okay. I'm not going to totally disagree with that because you have some pretty interesting ideas. And then, of course, but the thing that I would say, this is going to have to be the favorite, is going to absolutely have to be Eddie Kingston, CM Punk's worksheet promo. I cannot in words describe to you how great it is for me to see the layers of reality and fiction that they play with in this. There is so much good in it. I do wish that Eddie Kingston would have shut up for maybe 30 seconds and let CM Punk get a run in on it, but it was good while the way it was. I would have liked to have seen more of the CM Punkness of it, but that's not his way of doing things. So when it got to the end and they got all aggressive, it was good. And that pull-apart brawl at the end of it was 10 out of 10, will recommend.
That was the best pull-apart brawl I've ever seen.
I won't be that hyperbolic. I will not be there.
Well, it's not hyperbolic for me because I haven't seen too many of them.
Right.
So out of the few that I've seen, that was by far the best one I've ever seen.
Now, there are good and bad and everything in the world today. And we've talked about some of the bad today, but this show goes a long way to keeping us happy, at least keeping me happy.
Yeah. And if you're one of those people that really like the wrestlers that were let go by WWE, follow them on Instagram and Twitter and support them and all of their endeavors, because this is rough. This is going to be rough.
And that matters. It does matter. So let's keep them all. And I'm not saying add them to your prayers or anything like that or anything so trite. I'm going to say care about them if you care about them. Support them if you want to support them.
Right.
Don't just say, I wish that there was something that they were doing. If you're going to buy a wrestling t-shirt and you could buy a generic wrestling t-shirt, or you can buy a t-shirt from a wrestler that you absolutely like, buy the wrestler's tee. Give them that support.
Right.
It'll help.
Absolutely.
That's it. Now, Adelaide, give them the things.
All righty. Well, thank you everyone for listening. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, just want to tell us how wonderful we are, or just want to tell me how wonderful I am, feel free to email us at WLWWLpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you feel like a good mystery, you can always visit my website, and there's a place there for you to contact me as well to let me know how much you love my books or hated them. Constructive criticism, always welcome. You can go to www.adelaidelaurie.com.
Once again, for Adelaide Laurie, I'm Javier Augusto. This has been, and always will be, We Like What We Like.
Hope you like the new format.
Yay!